From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Questions are coming in from, indeed, around the world, and we do what we do because life and truth matter, and we are thankful for all of those that stand with us in our ministry outreaches. If you want to contact us, you can do so on the web at equip.org, or you could write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And to remember, our resource consultants, as always, are standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone callers. First up is Brian, listening in Oakdale, California. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I appreciate everything you're doing. And quick question. In John 10, when Jesus is performing miracles and then eventually goes into the temple, and the Jews kind of get mad at him because he says, me and my Father are one, Jesus refers to, I believe it's Psalm 82, where he says, it's written in your law that I said ye are gods. When I read 82, he's talking like he's in the host of heaven, and he's speaking to these gods that were not being very nice to the people they ruled over. And he said, I say you are gods, but you will die like men. What's going on there, Hank? Can you help me out with all that?
Yeah, and I think you're right to point back to Psalm 82, because this is what Jesus had in mind. Here you have the rulers who are giving judgment among the people, and yet they're showing partiality to the wicked. They're not causing any defense for the weak and the fatherless. They're oppressing the poor, the weak, and the needy. And so though they are called gods, which they are rulers, they are ordained by God, they are going to die like the mere men that they are. And this is pointed out in the passage, you will die like mere men, you will fall like every other ruler. So though they were called to be gods to the people, they were anything but. They were wicked men, and they showed their wickedness in the way they treated their people, and death would prove that they were not the gods they claimed to be. Now, what Jesus, however, is still pointing out is that, yes, we are, as believers, we are partakers of the divine nature. This is elucidated by Peter. That does not mean that there are now four in the Godhead. We're not gods as God is God in the Godhead, but we are gods in the sense that we are the sons of God, partakers of the divine nature, who can experience deification, the engrafted life of Jesus Christ.
Huh. Okay, you know, that sounded good. I'm still a little confused. That's why I called you. Now, Hank, I remember when God came down and spoke to the elders on the mountain. I mean, I remember reading it. I don't remember it, but when I read Psalm 82, unless I read it out of another, you know, interpretation, it sounded like he was amongst the hosts of heaven. Maybe I got that wrong.
Well, no. I mean, what the text says is that God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust? how long will you show partiality to the wicked? How long will you defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless, etc.? And then to the verse that you pointed out in the prologue to your question, you're going to die like the mere men that you are. You're going to fall like every other ruler. But God does preside in the great assembly. God also presides in every sphere or domain. He presides when it comes to the angels. He presides when it comes to all created beings. There's not one inch of the universe that God does not preside over.
I'll be, yeah, I agree. So you're saying that in 82, God is actually talking to kings and princesses and rulers.
He's talking to the rulers of the people who are going to die like mere men. That's the context, and you rightly pointed the context out. That was very good on your part. You didn't just take the one phrase, but you took it in context and included the verse that says you're going to die like mere men.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand it all. Okay, Hank, well, I'll let you go. I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Alex, listening in Houston, Texas, on the web. Hi, Alex.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
I want to ask you this question that my atheist friend had asked me, and I didn't know how to respond. It goes like this. Why pray? If it changes God's mind, then he is not sovereign. If it does not change God's mind, then he is superfluous.
Superfluous is not necessary.
Yes, superfluous.
Yeah, well, the argument actually is superfluous. I've often said that it's crucial to recognize that we pray not merely as a means of presenting a request to God, but we also pray as a means of pursuing a dynamic relationship with him. God not only ordains the ends, but he also ordains the means. And therefore, to ask the question, why pray if God already knows what we need, is sort of like asking, why get dressed in the morning? Why go to work? Why go to school? For that matter, if God is doing what he's doing anyway, why bother doing anything? The reality is God has ordained that the work we do, he has ordained that the prayers we utter, they produce results. The fact that God knows the future does not imply that our futures are fatalistically determined any more than our knowledge that the sun is going to rise causes the sun to rise. So while our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ask, our supplications are in and of themselves an acknowledgement of our dependence on him, and that alone is reason enough to pray without ceasing and does not in any way point to some kind of idea that God is superfluous. No, he is utterly necessary. In fact, if God withheld his providence for a millisecond, everything would implode.
Yes. Doesn't the Bible say, just ask and pray in Jesus' name and he will grant it? Something like that?
Well, we can ask and pray, but we also are told to ask and pray in accordance with the will of God. And if we do ask in accordance with his will, it will be done. And that's why we append our prayers with the phrase, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. As James says, anything else is utter foolishness and is presumptuous at best. We could ask for things that would utterly not only destroy us, but destroy people around us. So God, in his love and his omnipotence, gives us answers in accordance with his will. If he did not, we would, as I said, be destroyed.
Yes, it's just that John 14:14 got me a little confused on that too. It basically promises that it will. So it's just according to God's will.
Well, if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us and he gives to us whatever we ask, but it has to be in accordance with his will. So to pray in the name of Jesus Christ does not imply that if we use a particular name at the end of our prayers, that we have a magic mantra figured out. Rather, to pray in his name means that we are praying in accordance, as I said, to his will. So just as an emissary of a king can only be said to be speaking in the king's name if he says what the king would want him to say. So also we can only be said to be praying in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we pray in accordance to his will. So the purpose is never to get God to do what we want, but rather to learn to adapt our wills to the will of God. Now, to leave it at that, do remember that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. And quite frankly, I need your support. I can't do what I do without you. And so I'm inviting you to stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We don't pull any punches. We're never politically correct. We do what we do because life and truth really do make a difference in lives, not only for time, but also for eternity. You can give to the ministry in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also give via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences.
And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Here again is CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Next up is Ann, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Hank. You have published a lot of good resources and equipped Christians with the truth. It seems like more and more Christians are being shamed or shut up if they try to speak the truth about Islam. And it's not that I'm fearful to talk about it or share the truth with my friends. I'm more frustrated, I guess, because I feel like this is a country where we should be able to say what we believe and tell the truth. And it's just getting harder and harder to do that. What is your advice for Christians who are just trying to reasonably speak about Islam?
Yeah, I mean, I think we ought to be able to speak the truth and to speak the truth in love. And quite frankly, when you have people like Obama and Clinton and a host of others like that saying untrue things about Islam, which is to say they're misrepresenting Islam in its truest form. They're misrepresenting the Prophet Muhammad. They're misrepresenting his teachings. They're misrepresenting the Quran. Most of them don't know the difference between a Meccan verse and a Medinan verse. They don't know the doctrine of abrogation, the fact that the peace-loving verses have been abrogated and the violent verses not. They don't even know how the Quran is organized from the surahs that are the longest to the shortest. So many people are very ignorant about Islam, and they are pontificating from their platforms that this is a peaceful and tolerant religion. But if you look at the history of Islam, it does not point to Islam as either peaceful or tolerant. And that is not just as Islam has advanced by the sword through the centuries, but it is a clear indication of how Islam operates today. You go to Saudi Arabia and try to build a church and find out how peaceful and tolerant Islam is. Saudi Arabia has financed all kinds of mosques throughout the Western world, but you cannot build a church or preach the gospel on the streets of Saudi Arabia. So the notion that it is tolerant, it is not. It is not tolerant of anything other than their view. And if you try to proselytize or you convert from Islam to Christianity, you are going to be crucified or you're going to be beheaded or you're going to be stoned. So again, people are saying things which simply are not true about Islam. In many cases, they're talking about a book they've never read. I was listening to Tony Blair talking about how Islam is a peaceful and tolerant religion that shares the values that he shares. And I'm thinking, has he ever read the Quran? And while I'm thinking that, he says, and by the way, I love to read the Quran. Now, if he really reads the Quran and understands the Quran and understands the art and science of interpreting the Quran, then one has to question his sanity in saying that his values are the same as the values of Muhammad or the values that are listed in the consensus, the hadith, and the Quran.
Yes, exactly. I find, especially on social media, my friends, my coworkers, whoever I'm talking to, immediately they shout me down. They call me a racist or whatever, and I feel like I can't even speak about this.
Sure, they've even invented a word, Islamophobe. invented a word to silence you. But remember what Islam is overtly saying about Christianity. They are taking the heart out of Christianity. They're ripping it out, and no one seems to complain. They are saying that Jesus Christ was never crucified, and therefore Christ was never resurrected. If that is true, there's no Christianity. If that is true, Christ himself was a false Messiah. Jesus Christ claimed that he was God. They say to believe that is an unforgivable sin. Now, they're able to say that openly and freely, and we ought to be able to openly and freely communicate what we're communicating about Islam as a religion. And again, as I have underscored over and over again, this is not to say that there are not peace-loving and tolerant Muslims. What I am saying is Islam is a religion that has advanced by the sword, and now in places like Europe and the Western world, other places in the Western world, is advancing through migration without assimilation.
Do you have just a quick word of advice for Christians who are trying to speak with their people and how to approach people without getting shut down?
Well, I don't think that you have to feel as though it is your responsibility to grab Muslims by the lapels and say, you know, do you know about Jesus Christ? I think what your responsibility is to be an equipped Christian. And when you are, you'll have lots of opportunities. I'm right now in dialogue with a Muslim. I've gone to dinner with he and his wife, and we're having very wonderful conversations. I don't feel the necessity to convert him. That's the province of the Holy Spirit. But I am equipped to use the deviations of Islam as springboards for sharing the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. I've also mentioned that we had a Muslim live in our house for an entire year. He came to faith in Christ. I baptized him in a Christian church. By the way, he didn't want to go back to where he came from because he was afraid for his life. But he lived in our home for a year and became a very significant part of our family. Also, I've spoken at the University of Tehran in Iran. I've spoken at Alameh Tebetebeh, the sociology university. I don't have a we-they-siege mentality against Muslims, but I will speak the truth, and I'm not going to be politically correct.
All right. Well, I will continue to do the same, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ernie. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Ernie.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a question. Is the Antichrist going to be Jewish?
You know, what John says about Antichrist is anyone who says that Jesus Christ has not come in the flesh is Antichrist. And therefore, Antichrist is not only individuals, but institutions that deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God in human flesh. So John uses Antichrist not in the book of Revelation, but he uses Antichrist in his epistles and quite specifically says that who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus Christ is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. He goes on to say that no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And then in his second epistle, warns that many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is Antichrist. It doesn't have to be a Jew, doesn't have to be a Muslim. It can be anyone, Jew, Muslim, or garden variety pagan, that denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That is what Antichrist is.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And the apostasy of individuals, of institutions, of ideologies who deny Christ, all are correctly called Antichrist. And therefore, we can call modern-day cults and world religions. We can call ideologies like evolution and communism Antichrist. And if you look at the book of Revelation, though John does not use the word Antichrist there, he identifies both an individual and an institution that represent the ultimate personification of evil, the archetypal Antichrist. And he refers to this archetypal Antichrist as a beast who deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And of course, he's drawing on Daniel's apocalyptic depiction of evil that is personified in world powers and describes an emperor in his own epic who arrogantly sets himself and his empire against God, violently persecuting the saints and grossly violating the commandments through a long litany of disgusting demonstrations of depravity, not the least of which was his demand to be worshipped as Lord and God himself. So remember, Antichrist can be an institution, Antichrist can be an individual in any epoch of time. There were Antichrists in the first century, just as there are Antichrists in the 21st century, and in the midst of the growing storm, what we need to do is be faithful to speak the truth in love, with gentleness and with respect, but never shirk from speaking the truth. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stand with us shoulder to shoulder in a battle for life and truth. What we do really makes a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. And I love making the journey with you. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Did you know that the Quran and the Hadith are full of commands to subjugate or kill unbelievers, and that Sharia mandates proactive and perpetual war against Jews and Christians? In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of CRI, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you his book, Muslim: What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.